is a United Church minister who is Cree, and until fairly recently was the executive minister in the United Church of Canada for the Indigenous Church. And last year he was a guest at Canadian Memorial United Church in Vancouver and shared this reflection. And I'm happy to share this rather than recycle something I've done in the past, not only because it's better, but also I think it's really important that, you know, once or twice a year at least, we hear directly the voices of Indigenous people as we walk this road of truth and reconciliation together. And so we're sorry that Melanie can't be with us today, but are glad to hear the voice of Murray Pruden, who we'll hope to have as a guest sometime too. I'll warn him not to recycle the one that we're using today. This week is Truth and Reconciliation Week and Day. I'm always trying to understand what that really means. When you think about it, the pathway that we've been on with truth and reconciliation has had some stumbling, some trip-ups, as we are here today. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission came together to bring forward the stories and commitments of survivors who shared what happened to them in residential schools. I know that's a hard truth to speak and to present. I always find it hard because for many, giving their stories was something they felt compelled to do. In a way, it was what was in their heart. It was their truth, and the spirit of that truth had to come out, or else they could not heal. Many survivors are on different journeys. Not every one of us is on the same path in life. We all have different truths and different times when we are able to share them. I know there are residential school survivors who haven't shared their truth yet, and some who may never do so. They have reasons for that, and we respect their truth and their understanding. I speak of this personally because all of my grandparents were residential school survivors. They have all passed away now, but when I was growing up, we never or rarely talked about the schools in our household. We never talked about the day schools that my parents and other family members attended either. It was never a thing. It took me a long time to figure out why. Why aren't we talking about this? We heard stories from other families, stories in the communities, the good, the bad, and the ugly of residential schools. But my grandparents never brought it up, not in family gatherings, not in small discussions, not even when I visited them one-on-one. They would talk about growing up, about gardening, farming, livelihood, but not about the schools. As I got older, I wondered if I should ask them, but by the time I was ready, none of my grandparents were alive to speak their truths. I asked my mom and some of my aunties why they never talked about it. The answer was that they wanted those memories to stop. They didn't want those experiences brought forward to their children or grandchildren. They didn't want us to carry that pain. I took that as a kind of truth. But one day, while I was studying at the Vancouver School of Theology, I prayed about it. In one of our classes, we were talking about residential schools, and it really bothered me. So I prayed, God, Creator, what is it that my grandparents went through Show me. Give me a little bit of understanding. Give me a little bit of their journey. A few days later, in my student residence, I had an overwhelming spiritual experience. I felt small, belittled, in pain, and in deep suffering. Feelings I had never experienced before. I became emotional, started crying, curled up on the floor and asked, "What does this mean?" The first thought, the first emotion I felt was of my grandfather. I realized this was what he had felt at residential school, something he never wanted to speak about because he didn't want us, his grandchildren, to carry it. But because I asked, because I prayed for it, I was given a glimpse of it. From that moment on, I never again asked for such an understanding of my grandparents' stories. I remember the late Jim White, one of our elders at the Sanoto Spiritual Center in Manitoba. He once lifted up an imaginary suitcase and said, "This is my suitcase. This is my experience at residential schools. This is mine. It's not yours. You don't need to carry this." Some survivors don't share their stories for that reason. They don't want to. They don't need to. And we respect that. Now, the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation must never overshadow Orange Shirt Day. Because before it was a statutory day of recognition, it was Orange Shirt Day. That day has deep roots. It comes from Phyllis's story, her shiny orange dress that she loved, a gift from her grandmother, which was taken from her. She went through a tremendous time of healing in order to bring that story forward. Because of her, we wear the orange shirt. The one orange shirt created a ripple effect. It ripples outward like water, stirring the spirit. It has led us into wider conversations about reconciliation, about truth, about what has happened to Indigenous peoples, and about the generational traumas that continue today. One orange shirt did that. One orange shirt made the spirit ripple outward. This day is a memorial day, just like Remembrance Day on November 11th. On Truth and Reconciliation Day, we remember those who have gone before us, those who suffered and died, those who carried the truth. We remember because their spirits are also God's spirits. We are all interconnected in God's spirit. I believe God sees our spirits in colors. My spirit might be green, yours might be red, another might be orange. God speaks in many ways, through prayer, through visions, through creation itself. I think of my friend, a teacher in Alberta, who was discerning whether to pursue her master's degree. She prayed, "God, give me a sign I'll recognize. If I see a fox on my drive to work, let that be my sign." The next morning on her way to work, there was a fox on the side of the road, waiting, pointing the way. She knew her path. God speaks to us through creation. This earth, our mother, is one of God's greatest gifts. The forests, waters, animals all carry the spirit of the Creator. That is what we do in land acknowledgments, not just as words, but as recognition of our relationship with Mother Earth, the greatest relationship we have. We still have so much work to do in truth and reconciliation. It begins and continues with relationships. Building them, repairing them, strengthening them. Relationships sometimes end, but they can also be rebuilt. We need to be on that pathway, not only in the context of truth and reconciliation, but in the whole world. I get tired of watching the news because I see so much despair. Yet I also believe the earth and the spirit are speaking to us, telling us we need to change our relationships to become more understanding, less tearful, less fearful, and more loving. That is the Spirit of God. I want to end with an image I saw on the news this week, one that broke my heart. In West Kelowna, a mother bear and her two cubs were killed by authorities. The community loved those bears. They weren't a nuisance. They lived peacefully with the neighborhood. But officials decided otherwise. The people were outraged and heartbroken. That family of bears is now a story too, a reminder. We need to continue to understand each other, to understand the world we live in, and to respect creation. We need to keep building relationships with one another, with the earth, with all God's creatures. Tomorrow is another day. Each day is a new day. We welcome each new day in God's Spirit, walking in hope and love. For we have the mind of Christ. And through that, we are given the opportunity to live as God's children in God's love. Amen.